This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Barry's Verluga's column in the Post titled, "After That Commander's Pep Rally, It's Time for DC to Get a Better Deal," starts, "Let's take a deep breath and acknowledge a truth about the events of the week. Holding a celebratory welcome home news conference for an NFL team complete with legends from the franchise's decorated past, the best way to stir emotions, is at best premature and at worst disrespectful to the citizens who are going to be footing the bill. No, not all of the bill, but not nothing either." Barry joins us right now. Of course, you can follow Barry at the Post and on X at Barry's Verluga, S-V-R-L-U-G-A, where he has a link to the column that he wrote. So, you know, it really did feel Monday like almost a repeat of the Youngkin Ted announcement. Different, you know, a different context. One team was leaving the city, the other one's coming back. And I think this one perhaps feels maybe closer than that one did. But how close are they? Where is the city council now? And what do they have to do to get a deal worthy of voting yes on it?
So I think, Kevin, my problem with it was, and your reference to the Leonsis Youngkin Virginia deal is exactly right. Like, it shouldn't have been presented as a finality. It shouldn't have been presented as they are coming home. It should have been presented as the mayor's office and the team have worked hard to come out with a deal that they think is fair for both sides. And let's talk about it with the city, and let's talk about it with the council. And we all have work to do here. Let's make sure we're moving forward and everybody's informed. And I think the reason it was, you know, kind of borderline offensive is that it seemed to me to be playing with hearts and minds of, like, let's stir all the emotions of how great everybody feels about the RFK site and what happened at the RFK site back in the day, and push the train further down the tracks than it actually was. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think that the stadium's going to get built there. I think it's going to get built there. And I think the council's job now is not to block it necessarily, but it is to work to get the city in better position than it is now. And I think $2.7 billion from Josh Harris is a number that got a lot of people's attention as being very generous from an owner. But don't let that overshadow that the $1 billion at least that the district is going to have to contribute would be the second highest amount of public money for a stadium, an NFL stadium, since 2009, trailing only the Titans project that's going on in Nashville. So I don't want to just throw water on what was kind of an emotional fun day, and the idea of playing there is really cool. But I do think that as someone who lives in the district, it's really easy for Commanders fans in Virginia and Maryland to say, that sounds awesome, let's do it, and they're not paying for it.
You know, it's interesting, the first thing that you said, look, what they did on Monday generated a lot of positive passion from most of the fans, if not all of them, whereas the Ted Youngkin presser actually backfired. They didn't read the room well because the fan base, for the most part, and a lot of D.C. residents didn't want to see them leave. Now, first of all, do you have an idea as to where the council is? There are 12 current members, Ward 8's vacant. They need 7 yes votes. Do you know how many yes votes they have as of now?
We've had other people, obviously people who cover city government, trying to sniff that out. There were 4 members who were at the press conference who can be considered safe yeses. And my understanding is there's been a group that is more of a hard no, or perceived to be a hard no, with the current deal. And that would be including Charles Allen, who I've talked to, whose district is very near to the stadium, Ward 6.
Right.
And then there's a group that could be swayed either way. My guess is, and you know, they've got to fill the 13th seat, so that's an unknown. But I don't think it's going to be that difficult to get to 7 if there is negotiating room on the deal that's on the table. I don't think that it's going to go through as is. And if you remember, Kevin, I've referenced this in the column, like, you know, 20 years ago in the fall of 2004, Major League Baseball and Anthony Williams, the then mayor, announced that the Montreal Expos were moving to D.C. in a similarly, you know, with similar finality. And that December, the council basically blew up the deal and got a new one, got one that was better for the city. So I think something similar could happen here where, you know, maybe the city finds some revenue streams there that are not in this deal. Maybe they find some funding for other projects. I would be shocked if the deal that was the term sheet that was agreed to
right.
by the mayor and the team just goes in word for word as it is, because the council's job is to improve it and make sure that their citizens are getting more out of it.
So that's where I wanted to go to next. Barry Zwierluga joining us, because I pulled up the term sheet very early this morning because it's available out there, and I'm a D.C. resident too, so I'm interested in sort of what this is going to mean to me, but you know, overarching for me is I want the stadium, and I think ultimately the revenue and the tax, you know, revenue, et cetera, will be a good thing, but I haven't read through the term sheet in great detail. I'm wondering if you have a sense of where the negotiating areas are. Where are they going to haggle this down from $1.1 billion in terms of the city's commitment to something much less? Or maybe that's not even the big part of, you know, the negotiation possibility. What is it that Mendelsohn and company are going to go after to make this deal that will eventually pass? It sounds like you believe it will. I do too. Look different than it looks today.
I think, you know, there's a number of different areas, and it's not all necessarily bringing the $1 billion contribution down. Some of it can be about, well, how is this land being used? Are we really going to build 8,000 parking spaces that are only going to be used, and we can debate how many times this facility will be used, but say 30 times a year, which is a pretty aggressive number. Are we going to blight the area with parking garages, or is there a way to expand metro access and public transportation access and use less of the land for parking garages that sit there, you know, kind of empty and vacant for most of the time, and blight the landscape a little bit? Is there a way that, I mean, Charles Allen's reading of this is that the district will own the parking garages, but will get none of the revenue from
right.
it, that the Commanders will get all the revenue. Could we sway that? Is there a way to tip a revenue share with that? I think that's part of it, Kevin, is I'm not against development, because if you drive by RFK Stadium,
right.
I mean, it looks terrible. It looks
yep.
awful. That is wasted land, and this is a major, major, major opportunity. But the development should benefit the district and its residents too, not just the Harris Group, which is going to have a huge tract to the west of the stadium between the metro exit and the stadium to develop their businesses, restaurant, bars. It's something like maybe 90 different businesses that would be planned there that will all go to them. What can the district get out of that other than just tax revenue at a time when the federal workforce is hemorrhaging people and the district's bond rating has been docked and
right.
lowered, which makes it more difficult to borrow? Like, the mayor is saying this isn't about the fiscal year 2025 budget, and I agree with that, but you aren't operating in a financial vacuum either. Like, there are realities, and we don't know how these realities are going to play out for the financial health of the city over time. Like, that all has to be considered.
Don't you feel, and I actually mentioned this on Monday after listening to this and initially getting some of the council reaction to this, this is a term sheet. This is not a final, you know, agreed upon contract between the city and the team. Don't you think Josh Harris and company understand that they're going to have to be a little bit flexible here, that this was perhaps the most that they could ask for, but there is room to move back off of, you know, what's in that term sheet currently?
I would hope so. I mean, I think that's a very realistic viewpoint when you have to know that the mayor is not a dictator and she cannot just present her plan as one and done, when you know that it has to get approved by the council. And the team has met with council members that it knew would be or could be opposed to this plan, not in negotiating, but to get to know them and hear their concerns about it. I think they have to, I don't know that they're realistic about it. I would be surprised, given that they seem to read the room pretty well on every decision that they've made, that they wouldn't understand that this is a starting point and it's not done yet. And you know, and that, Kevin, really is my opposition to any of this is going back to presenting it as done when it's clearly not done. Like, I just think there was a better, the pep rally with Joe Gibbs and Daryl Green and Doug Williams and all of that should have been when the council passes it and it's actually done. Not there's a cart before the horse thing here that bothered me.
Yeah, well, that's part of them actually recognizing public reaction, you know, at least the majority of it, which could ultimately lead to pressure on city council members, versus the other one in which they completely misjudged what the reaction from the public would be, talking about the Wizards, Caps, Ted, and the move to Virginia. A couple of quick things. Number one, how much palm greasing goes on between now and the vote on something like this?
It's got to be a lot, but it also, I mean, my hope, again, as a district resident, would be it's not just greased palms, it's like substantive improvements on the deal for district residents. Like, that is, and again, does something have to happen to that area? Like, that is, cities don't have that much land to develop anymore. It's all been developed. And this is, so it's, in that sense, getting control of the land from the federal government was such a gift. I just want to make sure that the gift is the right gift. And I don't think that people should be, you know, kind of bamboozled or blinded by the $2.7 billion that Harris is putting in. He's putting that in not as a gift, as an investment to his product that he's going to make money off of. That's not a crime either, but let's not look at it as charity. It's like you spend money to start a business, to build a facility for your business. Like, that's an investment that you're going to reap benefits from. Yes, the city will reap benefits from it, because we all know, you know, if you're a sports fan, you like when the football team has a great place to play. It's a unifying thing. I only know the tales from what it was like at RFK when the Redskins were good. I'd like to feel that in a situation where you're not driving to PG County, where it's nothing against PG County. That the area around that was just, there's nothing to do. There's no place to go get a drink or a meal afterwards. Like, you're going there for the game and you're coming back. Like, what would the experience be like when you're walking through an actual neighborhood and there's stuff to do and it's been activated? Like, the what has to happen now is just maxing out what the district benefits are. And that's not all financial. That's residential. That's land use, you know, not making it just a sea of parking garages. So I think there's just tons of work to be done. I wish that work had been acknowledged on Monday.
Is it clear that this will be a domed or roofed, as they've said, stadium? Like, this is not going to be a retractable roof situation, right?
It's in term sheet that it's a roofed stadium. Yep. It does not say anything about retractable. And retractable, my understanding is, just adds a huge amount of money there. And, you know, you could wish that you were going to an NFL game on a Sunday in October when it's a perfect day out, and you were going to it outside. Like, I prefer that to a domed stadium. But, I mean, go to the place in Minneapolis, which is maybe the best football stadium I've been to and bouncing around in the NFL. Like, the Vikings used to be about, like, well, we play in the elements and Bud Grant is our coach and we don't have heaters on the sidelines. No. That stadium is awesome and it's loud and the Vikings have a clear home advantage. And guess what? It has hosted a Final Four. This obviously puts Washington, D.C. in the mix for stuff that we haven't been candidates to host here. I mean, I think it's a shame that there's a domestic World Cup next year and Washington, the nation's capital, which should be a candidate to host the final of the thing, couldn't be considered because the facilities were so lousy. Yeah. So that this would change all of that, and that's all positive. I mean, I love sports, and I would love to be in a city that can host the biggest and best events, including, of course, the Super Bowl. But let's just start the work now, not act like it's finished.
Yeah, and I think a Super Bowl would be very much in play. We're talking to Barry Svrluga. You know, one thing that was told to me, and I'm just curious if you've heard the same thing, is that some of the council members are upset that the team isn't going to relocate, you know, and because of, you know, potential jobs, et cetera. Now that, you know, this is not a massive employer because most of their employees are players. But has that been an issue? And do you think the team could potentially relocate as part of, you know, a renegotiation?
I should have mentioned that as something that could be part of the negotiation, because right now they have obviously their training facility, football headquarters in Ashburn, and asking to relocate that would cause, you know, you need a practice bubble for indoors, you need outdoor fields. That would take up a substantial part of that land. But again, I mean, Charles Allen told me he was really ticked off that they're saying they're going to keep the facility in Ashburn. And this is the one that you could argue should be relocated, is they moved their business operations to College Park under Jason Wright a couple, you know, within the last 2 years. There's no reason they couldn't move those to offices in the stadium or into an adjacent facility. And really, you know, you say most of the employees are players. It's actually, you know, there's a few hundred employees, full-time employees of any NFL franchise that get in all sorts of, you know, ticketing jobs, business side jobs, media jobs. Like it's not nothing. It's not a game changer for the district, but I do think there's something symbolic about, like, well, I mean, you say you're the Washington Commanders, like, be headquartered in Washington. Monumental Sports is headquartered downtown. Yes, the Capitals facility is in Arlington, but they have offices downtown, and the Nats are obviously at Nationals Park. If it says Washington in front of your name, why don't you put your employees in Washington?
All right, real quickly before I let you run. Caps tonight, game five, with a chance to end that series. By the way, Carolina ended their series with New Jersey last night in double overtime, winning that series 4-1, so they await the winner of this series. But to someone who hasn't seen any of the four games, if you were talking to that person, how would you describe the series so far, and then what happens? Do they end it tonight or not?
I would say that at 3-1, it looks like the better team is ahead, but each of these games has been really tightly contested. And the one that was decided by the most was actually the one game that the Canadians won. So I think that the Capitals are the better team from top to bottom. They're better defensively. They probably get Alexei Prodas back tonight, which is huge for a penalty kill that has been struggling against a dangerous Montreal power play. And I think it's imperative, like, if the Caps lose tonight, are they still up in the series? They are. But if they lose tonight, or even if they get down early, you're giving Montreal hope. And I think the job tonight is to extinguish hope and to do what the Hurricanes did in weird fashion. I mean, they were down 3-0 in that game and had to come back and push it to overtime and win it in double OT. But getting up early, holding a lead into the second period, wearing them down physically, because Washington is a bigger, stronger, more physical team. I think it's really important that they close it out in five, because you just start to think bad thoughts if you go back to Montreal. They have that crazy atmosphere. And then
we would start thinking that because of the history of game sevens lost and 3-1 leads lost. I wonder if the players on this team would feel it. But you're right. If they lose tonight and they go back and lose game six, all the pressure would be on Washington in a seventh and deciding game. I got to run. I appreciate you doing this, as always. Good story this morning. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the next couple of months. Thanks, Barry.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Anytime.
Barry Svrluga, everybody. You'll hear Fred Smoot's thoughts on Washington's draft next.